Thank you. It gives me real joy again to come to you, to sit down and discuss with you the Word of God. You know, I have been studying the Word of God for quite a number of years, and I confess to you this morning that we know so little of the marvelous revelation of God to His people. I wish in some way I could put into words just the way I feel about this. When I meet with Christians from all over the country, and I have this blessed privilege of doing so, in Bible conference work and preaching the gospel, in some way I would like to present to them the Lord Jesus Christ in such a way that they'll all fall in love with Him. I know you love the Savior, and I can say that I believe I love the Savior, but oh, to fall in love with Him so that His heart and your heart and my heart will be so knitted together that there'll be a revelation of the living God in you and in me. And this is what is the desire of the Apostle Paul in his book of Ephesians chapter 5. We were speaking in our last lesson on the fact that God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. The very energy of the nature of God toward mankind is love. His very righteous, holy character has been satisfied through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary's cross, and guaranteed in resurrection. Now this God who is holy and righteous is free, free to pour upon men and women his wonderful, wonderful love, a divine love, something which you and I have a hard time understanding. As we were saying in the lesson the other day, at the end of chapter 4, we are to be tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us. And to know that a divine love is able to not only forgive us, but also to forget the very sins which we have committed. This is beyond me. It's beyond you. This is divine. This is divine. And yet, in some way, I believe the Spirit of God would love to make real to us this relationship with Himself. Now look at chapter 5 again. The first two verses, may I read them? Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Be ye therefore, can I change the word? Be ye therefore imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love. Now you say to me, Mr. Mitchell, how can I imitate God? How can I be a real follower of God? He's divine. He's God. Yes, but you are His child. And having become partakers, as 2 Peter 1:4 says, having become partakers of the divine nature. Now we don't become God, but we belong to a new race of people where each one has been made a partaker of divine nature. And it's possible for you and me to walk in love. A love that sacrifices. A love that loves the unlovely. A love that expresses the very character of God. And I repeat what I said in the last lesson. This want of love is the evidence that we are not true followers of Jesus. As a Jewish lawyer here in Portland one time said, what we Jews want to see are real disciples of Jesus and walk in love. See, the world outside knows nothing about this. The world outside loves those who love them. This is what Peter says. But we're supposed to be different. We're Christians. We're the children of one who is God. Partakers of this new race of people, born of God. We can cry, Abba, Father. And hence, we are to love the unlovely. We are to love those who persecute us. We are to love those who are ornery. We are to love those who repel us. You see, now you're asking the impossible. Why, man, that's a supernatural thing. That's true, that's true. I'm not denying that. But my friend, Romans 5:5 says, talking about us who love the Savior, the very love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which has been given unto us. We were speaking the other day of the ministry of the Spirit of God in the believer. He not only seals us, but he indwells us. It's what Jesus said in the book of John chapter 14, you remember. The Spirit of God is with you and shall be in you. What for? For the purpose of revealing the very character of God. And I would suggest this morning, as you think of this, if you are the child of one who is God, yield yourself to the Spirit of God and walk in love, even as Christ also hath loved us. So when you come to the second verse of this passage of Ephesians 5, we have the pattern. As Christ loved us and gave himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. You see, he gave himself as a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. I think it's here that he talks about Christ in the burnt offering which is holy for God. If I were to go to the book of Leviticus, the first 7 chapters, which I'm not going to do, you remember there are 5 offerings, and one of them is called the burnt offering. And the burnt offering is that sweet sacrifice which satisfies God himself. It's holy for God. And we are exhorted to walk in love even as he did. It's a sacrificial love. A love that not only perfectly satisfies God, but a love that can satisfy you and me. May I just stop a moment on this? You remember John 13:1, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Wonderful thing. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. I like that. And in the 34th verse of the 13th chapter, he said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." In chapter 15 of John, I read these words, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue you in my love. And if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Now, these are tremendous verses. It's a sacrificial love. How much did he love you? Enough to die for you. You remember Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, where the Apostle Paul says, "I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." My friend, listen, love is always evident by sacrifice. Sacrifice for the one who is the object of your love. You know, I better not get on this. I get greatly disturbed sometimes with men, sometimes women, who talk about their love, but there's no sacrifice. It's a selfish thing, when it ought to be a sacrificial love. Real, genuine love. I'm talking about real, genuine love as evidenced by sacrifice. And I'm to walk in love even as Jesus Christ loved me and gave himself as a sacrifice for me. You have this in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22-25-27. We have it in this very chapter, which we'll be taking up in a few lessons from now, where Christ loved the church and gave himself for the church. In Romans 5:6, God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In 1 John 3:16, you have the same thing. He manifests his love by sacrifice. And if I say that I love somebody and I'm not willing to sacrifice for them, my friend, I don't love. Those are just empty words. if there's genuine love, it will always mean sacrifice. And it's a joy to sacrifice. Our Lord could say in Hebrews chapter 12, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. Who for the joy that was set before him was willing to sacrifice himself. What was the joy? Of bringing you and me to himself, of redeeming us from sin, of making us a child of one who is God, of granting to us eternal life, of guaranteeing eternal glory. And he went through it just because he loved us. He saw beyond the cross. As we read in Isaiah 53, he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. The great example for us is Jesus Christ himself. He loved us. And he gave himself for us. And I repeat it, my friend, a love that is not willing to sacrifice for the object of that love is not genuine love. Oh, what a need. What a need. Even among God's people. Even in Christian families. Genuineness in our love, the one for the other, that is willing to sacrifice God might be magnified in our lives. My friend, I ask you the question, how much do you love him? I'm not surprised that when you come to the 21st chapter of John, the Lord said to Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? That's all I ask you. Do you really love me? That's all I ask. Do you really love me? Am I really the object of your love? And if you are, if I am, then I'll give you a job to shepherd my sheep, to first of all to feed my lambs and so on. You see, this is the thing that delights the heart of God. What was wrong with the Ephesian church? They left their first love, that fervency of love for the Savior. I'm sorry to say that most of us have lost that fervency of love for Christ, that freshness of love. God grant to you and to me the joy today, today, of experiencing something of the love of God in Christ Jesus. And the Lord bless you today for his name's sake.